Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One of the fastest growing industries in the U.S. is something economists are calling wealth work. It includes jobs like manicurists, massage therapists, and dietitians that cater to wealthy people. Derek Thompson says this is the new servant class, and it may be bad for the economy. Derek is senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us now as he does each Monday. Derek, it's good to speak with you.
Good to speak with you, too.
So according to the Labor Department, in the last 10 years or so, manicurist and pedicurist jobs have increased by 114%, massage therapists 105%, skincare specialists 93%. I guess this is the wealth work you've been referring to, but what's going on?
Let me tell you first why I was so interested in these numbers. When you think about the jobs of the future, you know, what do you think of? Maybe you think of tech jobs, you know, software, cloud services, maybe even marketing. But look at the kind of jobs that are growing so quickly today in high-income dense cities, like manicurists and pedicurists that you named, massage therapists, skincare specialists, cooks, fitness trainers. These are all jobs that are growing between 2 times faster than the overall economy and 10 times faster. I mean, the number of manicurists in the U.S. doubled in a decade. This is remarkable, and this is a huge part of the future of work that we talk so much about. And it shows that what happens in an economy, particularly a local economy marked with high wealth and inequality, is that the jobs that grow fastest are often those that you cannot ship overseas, that you cannot replace with robots, and that high-income people demand. The wealth work that I'm speaking about are jobs that exist at the intersection of those three trends.
So who's doing these jobs? What are they getting paid? And what's the job security like?
The job security tends to be relatively low. The pay tends to be relatively low, especially given that these are jobs done in higher income areas. And I think it's really important to point out that a lot of these jobs are done by immigrants. I worked with an economist at the Brookings Institution, Mark Murrow, on these numbers. And he said that he estimated that 20% of wealth work is done by people who are not citizens, compared with less than 10% of all U.S. labor. So that means that foreign-born workers are twice as likely to do these wealth work jobs. And when you put it together, you know, it's not an altogether bad picture. It's important, I think, for, you know, wealth work to serve as a bridge for foreign workers and less skilled Americans to get a foothold in the labor force. But there may also be a dark side.
Right. So, you know, if these are new jobs that immigrants are able to get when they come to this country to get a foothold in the United States, that may be a good thing. But why are you so pessimistic about it, calling it an underclass of urban servants?
The underclass remark is a reference to another piece that I quote that talked about how we're seeing the rise of a servant economy potentially. But let me tell you about the optimistic and the pessimistic read here. The optimistic read is that new jobs are good. New jobs in cities are good, and new opportunities for immigrants and low-skill Americans are great. These jobs are, you know, are fantastic for those groups of people. But they also are very clearly hotbeds for exploitation and alienation. Like, the New York City nail salon industry is notorious for flouting minimum wage laws and other labor regulations. Massage parlors across Florida have been notorious for serving as fronts for human trafficking. And that's not even going into the on-demand economy, that fleet of people who are driving Ubers or driving Lyfts or delivering food with DoorDash and Caviar, who are essentially considered not employees, even though they're working, but rather contractors. So the platforms they're working for are essentially going around the Fair Labor Standards Act. So in many ways, I think it's fantastic that you have this group of jobs that's growing quickly in rich cities, but the exploitation and alienation side is one that I don't want to forget about.
But isn't it also true that people who are getting manicures and pedicures and taking an Uber, I mean, look, these are not all the super, super rich. I mean, I think we should point that out, too.
Absolutely. The term wealth work comes from this economist David Autor's work, where he's essentially distinguishing between the growth of tech jobs and the growth of jobs that exist in that are essentially disproportionately located in wealthy cities. So wealth in wealth work doesn't apply exclusively to the people who are being served here. It's not as if the only people who ride around in Ubers and get facials are the 1%, the 0.1%. That's obviously not true. But it is the case that these jobs do seem to be disproportionately located in wealthier zip codes and wealthier cities. And that is what wealth work refers to.
I want to ask you about a related story because it has to do with wealth inequality. The Business Roundtable, a powerful group of CEOs in the United States, said today that shareholder profits should no longer be the sole focus of a corporation, and says Americans deserve an economy that allows each person to succeed through hard work and creativity and to lead a life of meaning and dignity. Your thoughts on the significance of that shift from this powerful group of CEOs?
Words are cheap and labor is expensive. It's fantastic that some of the most important CEOs in the country are saying things like Americans deserve an economy where everyone can lead a life of dignity. Like, that's wonderful. At the same time, dignity does not come from the words of CEOs to the Business Roundtable. Mm-hmm. It comes from a living wage and from fair compensation. Yep. And so I'm waiting to see that happen.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd.
I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Here and Now.